So one of my favorite books to recommend parishioners is this comic memoir by Ross Chaz. Anyone heard of her? It's written in the style of kind of a graphic novel, and it chronicles her journey caring for her elderly parents as they declined physically and mentally. It's raw, it's true, and it's hilarious in all the right ways. And I love its title. Its title is, Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? And this title springs from her parents' earnest desire to stay in denial about what's happening to them, to sweep it under the rug. And of course, throughout the book, it becomes clearer and clearer that it is what we refuse to talk about directly, transparently, that holds the most insidious sway over us. To resign something to silence is to give it power. One thing I love fiercely about church is that church at its best is a place where we don't just talk about what's pleasant. We talk about what matters, not just to grumble and wallow, but to lift up the truth of life. And as we do, we often discover the authenticity of the good news in God. Good news in God. We break free from the fear and the shame of all those big, unspeakable things holding us apart. In today's gospel, the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling again. Can't Jesus just hang out with people a bit more respectable and upstanding? They're disturbed by how the sinners and outcasts flock to Jesus and how he welcomes them. In response, Jesus tells three parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, both of which we heard today, and the parable of the lost son, otherwise known as the prodigal son. Each follows the same pattern, right? Increasing in detail and drama. You've got something or someone who's lost and then found. And then there's a moment of great fanfare and celebration. And that's where I want to draw our attention this morning, that act of rejoicing. Because if you look closely, you know, the shepherd and the woman, once they recovered their sheep and their coin, they could have quietly gone about their day. The lamb would be reincorporated to the flock, the coin slipped into a purse with relief. In some ways, that would have made more sense. Why announce to the world that you accidentally left one of your sheep to wander off, or that you're not as careful with your coins as you should be? Why gather friends and neighbors all around to proclaim, this was lost and now is found? I think it has something to do with the types of welcome I've encountered. There's two I've encountered especially. The first is the type of welcome that says, hello, come in. We don't care who you are or where you've been. We just care that you're here and that you fit yourself in. That welcome can feel like an amazing opportunity to start afresh. It's a celebration of one's presence in the community, and yet there's something missing. The second type of welcome, and I hope this is a welcome you've known in your life, this type of welcome says, hello, it's great to meet you. We can't wait to hear your story. We can't wait to learn what brought you here and how you will change us. This type of welcome invites the whole self, even the baggage, even the ways you've been lost and broken, even the ways you're still falling short. It is a fuller celebration, a more real joy. It lifts up the truth of who you are and were and are becoming and uncovers the good news of God's movement in your life. When Jesus sits with outcasts and sinners, he welcomes their stories too. He doesn't ask them to hide who they are or who they've been. Their identities, what they have overcome, That's an integral part of the story that God is telling in their lives. You have been lost, but now you are found. You have been held back by fear, by shame, by cruelty. Now you are free. Your whole story is precious to God. Your whole self is beloved. Growing up in my family's New England culture, money was one of the top unpleasant topics you weren't supposed to talk about. You might be familiar with this kind of culture where you pretend not to notice the cash as it falls out of the birthday card when you open it, or the checks at restaurants are kind of whisked away, and you hastily scrub off the price tag on gifts. The mention of money was profane, dirty, even downright rude. But as I've gotten older and worked across many different cultures and relationships to money, I've come to learn that the silence and the shame around money, whether it's abundance or its lack, only increases its power over us. I learned how hiding secret debts and financial losses can isolate and break down relationships, how company policies prohibiting the discussion of wages and compensation have led to decades of exploitation and inequality. Money is not pleasant to talk about, but it matters. It matters, and there is good news to be found in how God can use what we give and earn. A huge part of the healing work of ministry is helping people learn to tell their story. Once they can tell their story, all the parts that matter, it no longer has power over them. And when they tell their story to others, they lift up the truth and uncover the joy, and they share in it. And it turns out that telling the whole story of our faith journeys, telling the whole story of our life as a community, includes reflecting on and talking about our relationship with money. So that's what we're going to do today and the next few Stewardship Sundays. We've got four brave folks who will be reflecting on their relationship with money and faith through their own powerful stories. We'll practice being transparent about our fears and holdups around money and how God can transform that into giving from a place of gratitude and joy. So today, after the service, you're invited to stick around for brunch, and we're going to be sharing our stories. We're going to be sharing our stories just about faith and community. We're going to be practicing talking about those times in our lives when love has cast out fear. Today is about rejoicing in one another's stories. So I hope you'll stay for that. See, I believe there is a story of God's triumph to be told in your life, just as there is here a story to be told at St. Mark's as a whole. You may have not reached the end of that story yet. We might be in the midst of it ourselves, but we trust that when God guides a story, love wins out every time. There is joy to be found and shared. Amen.